Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this last Sunday of the church's year, the Feast of Christ the King, and we use the readings for Proper 29. The readings for today: 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 to 7, Psalm 132, the Revelation to John chapter 1 verses 4b to 8, and the Gospel of John chapter 18 verses 33 to 37. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here and we will honor Him. The Lord is here and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Almighty God, King of all creation, sovereign over all things, You hold the universe in the palm of Your hand. Enable us to keep our hearts fixed on You and our minds on Your truth. For we have come to worship You as Lord of all. Amen. Lord, You call us to worship You with joy and thanksgiving. You summon us to give You glory and to honor Your name. You remind us that You are our Maker, and that through You we may enter all that life was meant to be. We come to confess that You hold us and You hold all things in the palm of Your hand, and we would worship You. Too easily our praises are restricted by our self-centeredness and our prayers by our self-interests. We come to sing, to laugh, and to rejoice in Your presence. By the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit, transform the formalities of our praises and renew the experience of Your glory. Lord, we kneel before You, our hearts and our lives open to Your searching sight. By Your grace, enable us to speak of Your love and to commit our very lives to sing of Your glory. Amen. And we have the hymn CPWI 378, O Worship the King.
Yeah.
we pray the collect for proper 29, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Give Us a King. Give Us a King. Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. When we think of a king, we think of a ruler of a particular geographic area who would often seek to expand his kingdom with military conquests over other rulers, be they kings, emperors, or chiefs. Our Old Testament lesson today from 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 to 7 presents us with the last words of the most celebrated king of ancient Israel, the king by whom all other kings were measured, King David. The reading begins by describing who David is. He is not only identified as David's son of Jesse, but he is also identified as one who has been exalted, anointed, and favored by God. David recognizes that it is the Spirit of the Lord who speaks and works through him. We are reminded of the time when the prophet Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king over Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13a. The writer records, Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. When God calls, God equips, and God commissions for service in the world for God. The Spirit of the Lord did not only empower Israel's kings to defeat their enemies, but equipped them to rule over God's people justly, to establish and maintain a just and righteous society by exercising royal authority on behalf of the poor, the weak, the powerless, the marginalized, and the afflicted. When a ruler truly rules as God's agent, then the glory of God is shown forth in all creation. But Israel was not always ruled by kings. In the early days in the land of promise, there were the judges. And the book of Judges takes its name from the history of 14 judges who ruled and delivered Israel. It covers a period between the conquest of the land and the death of Joshua to the judgeship of Samuel, who introduced the monarchy the kingship in Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the story is told of Samuel, who was ruling Israel, but was now old, and made his two sons judges over the people. The sons did not live up to the high standards set by their father Samuel, but, as it is recorded, turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3b. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Samuel rejected the idea and prayed to God, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall rule over them." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 and 9. Samuel indeed told them about the ways that a king would affect their lives. He said, "These are the ways of the king who will rule over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flock, and you shall be his slave." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 11 to 17. Samuel painted a picture of a king who would rule over them and take and take and take. But the people refused to listen. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us so that we also may be like other nations." Verses 19 and 20. Samuel resisted, but the Lord said to him, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." Verse 22a. The people asked for a king for all the wrong reasons, and God consented. Centuries later, God would fulfill a promise to David and send God's son, born of David's line, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the new king from God would come not to conquer new territory, but to capture the hearts and spirits of humankind, inviting all of us to be a part of a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, beginning in this realm and as a gift for faithfulness, a new kingdom for eternity. In our gospel today, when Jesus is arrested and brought before Pilate, Pilate puts the question to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" John chapter 18, verse 33. Jesus does not answer the question directly. Pilate was far from the truth. Jesus points out to him that, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. Pilate the soldier could not understand a king without a kingdom. "My kingdom," Jesus affirms, "is not of this world." His kingdom is about love for God, love for self and neighbor. His kingdom is about obedience to God's will. His kingdom is about justice and mercy and truth. His kingdom is about inclusiveness. His kingdom is not about conquering more territory, but transforming lives and defeating the challenges of the world, the flesh, and the devil. His kingdom has different standards from those of the world. The invitation to be a part of Jesus' kingdom is open to all God's children. It is an invitation that we cannot refuse. The hymn writers Graham Moore and John E. Bell express it in this way: "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?" Christ the King invites us all to be a part of his kingdom. God in love has given us a king, God's one and only Son. Will we accept him and have a place in his kingdom? Or will we be like the Jews and Pilate and say, "We have no king but Caesar"? Christ the King calls us into his kingdom today. How will we respond? Amen. And so we continue in prayer. Grant us, Lord, to look with your eyes of compassion, O merciful God, at the long travail of mankind, the wars, the hungry millions, the countless refugees, the natural disasters, the cruel and needless deaths, man's inhumanity to one another, the heartbreak and the hopelessness of so many lives. Hasten the coming of the Messianic age, when the nation shall be at peace, and men shall live free from fear and free from want. And there shall be no more pain or tears. In the security of your will, the assurance of your love, the coming of your kingdom, O God of righteousness, O Lord of compassion. Amen. O God, our leader and our master and our friend, forgive our imperfections and our little motives. Take us and make us one with your great purpose. Use us and do not reject us. Make us all servants of your kingdom. Weave our lives into your struggle to conquer and to bring peace and union to the world. We are small and feeble creatures. We are feeble in speech, feebler in action. Nevertheless, but your light shall shine upon us, and there is none of us who cannot be lit by your fire and who cannot lose himself in your salvation. Take us into your purpose, O God. Let your kingdom come into our hearts and into this world. Amen. And we continue in prayer. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus, with great triumph into your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to comfort us and to exalt us into the same place where our Savior Christ has gone. Allow the Holy Spirit to help us to become citizens of the kingdom of Him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have a hymn from CPWI 363, Angels' Voices Ever Singing.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and abide with us always. Amen. And so we pray that you will have a Spirit-filled, rewarding, and productive week, that you will continue to worship God daily. You will watch your distance, wear your mask, and wash your hands. And we pray that God will keep us all in his safe keeping.
Thank you.